Well, all right, let's talk a little bit about the kingdom of God. Let's go back again to Isaiah chapter 9. Amazing again how you sometimes think you know passages of Scripture. But the more you think about it, the more you meditate upon it, really. Sometimes the Lord lets that light break in on you.
Amen.
And that's good, isn't it?
It is.
It's really joyful when the Lord just opens up your mind and there's a brightness there.
That's right.
A realization, a revelation, right? That's what a revelation is, of course. It is an opening up of the mind and understanding something that you haven't understood or known before.
And it always gives you peace.
I'm sorry?
It always gives you peace.
There comes peace.
Yeah.
It does.
It holds the joy.
Joy.
And it's just a blessing, isn't it?
It is.
Amen.
So, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us
is given.
A son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And in his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God,
the Everlasting Father, yeah.
The Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Now hold your finger there if you want to, and go with me again back over to Romans chapter 14. In verse 17 here, he says, "The kingdom, for the kingdom of God, is not in meat and drink, but it's in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Again, back over in Isaiah, because of one particular term, and what is that term if we're talking about the kingdom? Well, it's government, isn't it?
Right.
And it says that the government shall be
on his shoulder.
On his shoulder. Well, first of all, what is government?
He's carrying his load. He's carrying the load of the government.
That's true.
He's the governor.
He
the
is.
Book I'm reading now, Bellamy refers to him over and over again. Had a number of the Puritans that called him the governor.
The governor. Well, if the government is upon his shoulders, then he is the governor.
Amen. That's right.
We talked about the idea of the kingdom, and we said there have been kingdoms, there are kingdoms, and there may be some more to be established yet. We don't quite know.
Right.
But there is one kingdom that was before all kingdoms, and there's one kingdom that is going to be after all other kingdoms have disappeared from the face of the earth.
Amen.
Right?
Right, amen.
Now, again, a kingdom has to do with government, right?
Sure.
And Christ established a government. right?
Amen. He did.
But it's not a government of man. As Christ spoke to Pilate,
right,
said, "My kingdom is not of this world."
Right.
Pilate's government was of this world.
Right.
But that's the difference. That as far as that goes, again, Christ established a government. And the type of government that he established was a kingdom. Now, a kingdom, that necessitates a king, doesn't it?
Amen.
Now, I guess we could argue the point, maybe, but like the United States is really not a kingdom, right? It's a government, but the type of government that it is a republic. But a kingdom is one that has one king. It has one ruler. And in the kingdom of God, Christ is
the king.
That ruler.
He is the king.
He sits at the right hand of the Father, where he rules. For how long?
Forever. Until he makes, he makes his enemies his footstool.
Right. Until all enemies are put under his feet, and well, then is the kingdom going to end?
Oh, no.
No. What's going to happen?
Well, his kingdom is everlasting.
Yes. His kingdom is everlasting because it's God's kingdom, right? But it's not going to end when he puts all things under his feet, all enemies, I should say, under his feet. He is going to put all enemies under his feet. There is coming a time when all enemies are going to be put under his
feet.
But his kingdom is not going to end at that point. His kingdom, as Bruce said a while ago, it's an everlasting kingdom. What's going to happen is when all enemies are put under his feet, that he is going to deliver up the kingdom to the Father, right? That all things might be in one. It's going to be in God, right?
Right.
So, this kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and here is the different aspects of it, if you will, the perfection, if you will. A lot of people look at the King of England or some other king, they may look at them and think, well, you know, they're really a good king. But none of them will match what we're seeing here.
Correct.
Wonderful. Now, some people again may use that designation, but what ruler besides Christ has ever met all the qualifications of this term wonderful? They all have their faults, right? They all have their weaknesses. They all are less than absolute perfection.
Even at their best state.
Yeah.
They're all about vanity.
Yeah, they're vanity, right. But not Christ.
Right.
Because He rules and reigns in righteousness.
And everything will be right.
Everything will be right. If it's righteousness, it has to be right.
That's correct.
And if it's right, it has to be righteousness, right? If we understand that, we can certainly say that's the way it is. All things are of Him, and they're to Him, and they're for Him, through Him. Because there can't be anyone above Him. There can't be anyone really equal with Him, except the Father and the Holy Ghost. Right? So, here we have then the kingdom. That kingdom really is Christ. Now, there are subjects in that kingdom, but the subjects of Christ's kingdom, how else are we designated? What is another term that is used to describe the people of God?
We're joint heirs.
Joint heirs? How can we be joint heirs?
Because we've inherited those things that belong to Christ.
All right. But
all those promises.
The Son is the complete heir, right?
Yes.
We're joint heirs with Him.
Yes.
But the way that we're joint heirs with Him is that we are His body. We're His body. And consequently, therein lies the kingdom. We don't often think about it in this life.
Never have before.
But we... Not only are His, but we are Him in the sense that we are by the Spirit just like Him. And when we lose this fleshly part of us, what are we going to be?
Like Him.
We're just going to be like Him. We shall see Him as He is, right? And we will comprise the kingdom. Again, these things are difficult for us to comprehend in our minds because they're above our minds. They're far above our minds. We like to think sometimes that we know a lot, that we understand a lot, but the Apostle says we know nothing yet as
we will,
and we should.
Yeah.
Right. And the reason for that is again because God is far above us, and we still have this flesh. We are. In that sense, we're hindered by the flesh.
Correct.
Or at least we're limited. Maybe that's a better term. We're limited by the flesh. We don't think as highly as we ought to think. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Sometimes we think of ourselves much higher than we ought to. But when it comes to thinking like God, we don't think that high. Our minds are yet limited by the fleshly part of us. But what is a limited?
What isn't?
Yeah. Is there anything that isn't limited by, about us? I mean,
I agree. Yeah, we're finite.
Yes, we are. But God is infinite, right? You know, I hate to refer to these science fiction things and these imaginary things, and yet sometimes it gets pretty close, doesn't it?
Well, they're based on truth.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they sound plausible to people. And
well, you see in these movies and things, you'll see people walk through a wall, right?
Right.
Well, you understand that Christ literally did that.
Yeah. Yeah, sure did.
And even when we lose this fleshly part of us, we're not going to be limited in any way. We will have absolute, perfect liberty. Now, some of these pagans, they might think, oh, wonderful, then I'm going to walk through these walls and I'm going to do whatever I want to, I'll just disappear.
Okay.
No, we won't do that because we are the body of Christ. And the body is not going to leave the head any more than the head is going to leave the body. A lot of our conversation again reflects this. Like, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Christ is going to keep the body. Christ is ruling and reigning, and he will always rule and reign. But again, the type of government that he has is a kingdom, and the king then, what does the king do as far as governing, actually governing? Isn't he the one that sets all things in order in the kingdom?
Yeah, it's all for his pleasure.
Yeah.
It's all for his glory.
But his pleasure is not frivolous, is it?
The best way to describe it is that word, righteous. And righteousness, purity of heart and rectitude of life.
So that brings us then to the next step then, doesn't it? Back over in Romans 14. For the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but it is in what?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. Peace.
Oh, joy in the Holy
Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. So, he orders all things in that kingdom. His government is a righteous government.
Absolutely.
And that simply means that not some things in his kingdom are righteous.
All.
Sir?
All of us in his kingdom are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everything in his kingdom is righteous. After righteousness. Now, here's the amazing thing, and here is depravity. If all things in the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, if all things in that kingdom are righteous, then what is there not to like about it? What's not to rejoice over it? What's not to be happy about? Nothing. It can't be. If it's all righteous, then it has to all be right. It all has to be perfect. It all has to be in absolute order. There's nothing out of place. There's nothing bad, nothing evil. There's not even anything that is not purposeful. And some people don't like that, right?
Because they want to be in control.
Some people like to be frivolous. Some people like to be a rebel. In other words, they don't want to be righteous. In fact, they balk at being righteous. I'm losing my mind, I think. The one that preached to the Sanhedrin for Stephen. As Stephen preached to the Sanhedrin court, what did they do? They rebelled against what he was preaching. And what did he say? He stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart.
Right.
What an amazing thing that is to be called that, to be designated as that.
And then they didn't believe him and they threw him in a pit.
Sorry?
They didn't believe that. They didn't want to, so they put him in a pit.
Well, they stoned him to death, but nevertheless, what he said was right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it came from God. Right. But this goes back to what I started with. There is total depravity. Of course, depravity is always total. It's not in nothing partial about depravity. If you're depraved, you're totally depraved. You're all depravity. But what I'm saying is that what really defines depravity is rebellion against God for no reason. Some years ago, quite a few years ago, and I really don't remember exactly how long, but they made a movie. I believe it was a movie. I could be wrong. It may have been just a song, but I believe it was a movie. And it was entitled Rebel Without a Cause.
Oh, yeah.
I thought back then, you know, that pretty well defines the sinner, right? He is a rebel, but he really doesn't have a cause. He's just a rebel because he wants to be a rebel. He is a rebel because he is at enmity with God, and everything or anything that God says or does, they don't like it. And they're, as it said, we will not have this man to rule over us. In other words, they simply don't like his government, do they? You know, sometimes I really wonder about this thing of democracy or a republic. I really sometimes question this thing about self-rule. Is that good?
Well, you know, I thought about this to some extent, because Israel initially had judges. They had judges.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't have kings. And they were warned what was going to happen if you had a king.
Right.
But they wanted to be like the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And look what happened.
Yeah.
So I have wondered about that. And one has to marvel at the fact that our government has been as good as it is with all the wicked people that are here and that are in government.
Right.
And yet, it's carried on until here very recently. I mean, it's just like, it's just, if you drain the swamp, there'd be nobody in Washington. and it's all falling apart now, so it seems like it. But that's the Holy Spirit. He is. I put this paper together the other day, and I'm going to kind of add to it, but it's out of Thessalonians, and it's out of Romans, and it's why the world, it's why this country is the way it is right now. This is what's happening. It's getting ready for that return of Christ.
Yes.
Yes, it is. When he is going to show what?
He is king.
Yeah. Not only that he is king, but he is the blessed and only
potentate,
the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. So, right now, most of the world, what do they think about him?
Nothing.
No. He's nothing to them, except maybe around Christmas time, they might give him a thought, but other than that, forget it, right?
Right.
He's nobody. It's nothing. They don't even believe he exists. Right.
It'll be like Pharaoh. Who is the Lord that I should?
That's right. That I should serve him.
Yeah.
But one day he is going to show everybody,
yeah,
who the blessed and potentate is, and the only one, Lord of lords and King of kings. What a blessed thought to us.
Right? Amen. Absolutely.
And so the government shall be upon his shoulders. And that implies a burden that great resistance, but the day is coming when there will be no resistance.
Right.
back to every person is going to fall down and bless and praise the name of the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful when there's not one thought that is different from another?
Right. That's unbelievable. That's difficult.
Well, and it'll be an infinite love to everybody.
But in that case,
God from God and to each other.
But in that case, those that are not His people will not even exist. Will not be there.
No, they will be in this place called hell.
Yeah. Correct. That's right.
There will be a total, again, and an absolute separation.
Yeah, they will not exist. They will not be there.
Sometimes. Now, we're not bothered with ungodly temptations. That's not very often.
Right.
But there are times when we have as close to absolute tranquility as you can come.
Amen.
Almost every morning.
Right.
It's almost every morning. I mean, I enjoy it. I sit there and see it. It gets light outside. It's quiet. It's peaceful. I've been reading the Word.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and I know. I think about Ukraine. I think about what's happening over there. There are other ugly things I hear about here. But as far as I'm concerned, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I know. It can change in a moment. I know one day it's going to change. But then there's going to be the day that never ends.
The day that never ends. Again, where there will be perfect peace, there'll be perfect harmony, there'll be perfect total agreement. These things just.
I know. We'll be holy.
And when every thought, Jerry, Linda, George, Bruce, Dorothy, myself, and multitudes and multitudes of more will all have exactly the same thought. And those thoughts, every thought will stem from the same motivation.
Yes. Love.
Yeah. Love of the Lord Christ.
Right.
It'll be His Spirit.
What?
It'll be His Spirit.
But we won't have this warfare anymore with this flesh.
Thank you.